Arr, Grog.
Oi, oi, Kerry, how you doing? Everyone, welcome to the... All right, well, all right, darling. Welcome to the Cider Shed podcast. As you can tell, we're feeling a little loose this evening. Hope you're all well. Kerry.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to blow my own archer's trumpet, but I did say on the Patreon that this person is going to be someone dodgy that Jolene met while on tour.
Yep, you did.
I mean, I did say that would be while she was touring the States with Journey, so I got that bit wrong. It was Wolverhampton, but, you know, apart from that.
Touring Wolverhampton. Oh, yeah. It was a very weird story that she told, wasn't it? To Vince, right. Yeah. Okay, several things. Thursday episode was what we needed at last. I mean, you know, Kenton got chewed by dogs the night before. That was quite good, drama-wise.
He got chewed on Tuesday. He got chewed two nights before.
Oh, he did, didn't he? Wednesday was hospital. So sorry. Oh, actually, it's been quite an exciting week, hasn't it? Monday and Tuesday. Anyway, but why did you think that Vince noticed Jolene seemed a bit odd?
She dropped her phone. And literally anyone who drops their phone is clearly in some form of emotional distress.
Yes, Matthew, you dropped yours yesterday, didn't you, or 2 days ago?
Yeah, no sooner had we finished recording the Patreon, I leant over, innocuously knocked a phone that I've had for 4 years and dropped in a million different locations. It's been fine. I dropped it all of about a foot onto the floor and it shattered completely into 1,000 pieces. So the screen, that is. So, yeah, I can relate. And I think Vince looked at her and thought, there's something wrong there. I mean, I thought we were going to go down this protection money route that she owes money from years ago for something. I tell you what, Kerry, let's have a little break. And when we come back, we'll get stuck into it.
Let's.
This February, why not mosey on down to the Bull and enjoy the old Wild West ambience of Jolene's Jigging Jamboree. Guaranteed to pull in every outlaw from around the county. Who will likely fess up to every crime they've ever committed, just like any decent career criminal. But bring yourself something to stand your ground, because when that there Jolene hits the high notes, things can get a little rowdy.
No, Neville, not the face.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, there's only two main stories in town this week, and to give them the full respect that the scriptwriters have given us, and Neville and Bert, I'm going to say heads or tails, and you have to choose, Kerry, the fashion show or the dog attack.
Always heads.
All right, so heads for dog attack and tails for fashion show, okay?
Okay.
It's heads, dog attack.
Yes.
When we were recording the midweeker, there was already chatter starting about this dodgy bloke in the pub. Mm. And so that put the hook in me a bit. And I went in, I was like, I want to listen to this. I want to see what it is. You were saying he was quite Vince-like. Yeah, he definitely had the Brummie accent. So following on to the golden rule of the archers, anyone with a Brummie accent recently is a wrong'un. He goes to the pub. They're having an emergency pub in the Plowman's because the Plowman's have the power, which was a great Patti Smith song.
Was it in brackets after that and toilets? If that's all.
Yeah, it should be. And then they had some passing trade come in. They were very lively. The guy comes up to the bar and Kenton and Tracy proceed to be like, let me tell you, stranger, everything about our pub and the fact that things aren't working properly here right now.
Yeah, because he was going, so it's going to be empty for the next few days, is it? Oh, nice place you've got here. Yeah, really nice scoping the joint.
He was like, nice and quiet, just right. And Tracy was like, yeah, CCTV's off, no electrics, nothing. Nothing's working.
But what would they want to nick?
They don't want to nick anything. I think they thought it's a good quiet location to pull up round the back and do some...
Dogfighting.
Dog fighting or dog trading?
Trading. Okay.
Yeah, trading of dangerous dodgy animals.
But isn't it better to do that not near a building at all?
You're bringing logic to an archer's fight, Kerry.
Because someone's more likely to go to a building. And obviously they've got their living quarters, haven't they? Which miraculously are fine electrically. You wouldn't go, I know, we'll go to this pub that may be empty for a few days to do our dodgy dealings. Wouldn't you go like up some country lane?
Well, yeah, you wouldn't. I wouldn't, Kerry, because we know where we want to do our illegal dog trading. But these guys, they decided to do it in the bull. Hey, do you think they were trading XL bull ease?
Oh, that's why it was called it all those years ago, just to lead up to this story, Matthew. They knew 70 years ago that Kenton would get chewed by a bull Lee.
I got a funny feeling that it got to the end of like November, early December in the Archer's script writing room. And they were like, how about a renewed fashion show and an XL bully dog attack?
Yeah, Kenton gets mauled.
That's just Shula in the hospital.
I thought it would be funny if it actually turned out that it was Ruby who did it. But also, Jolene sort of, she went to get a glass from the window ledge that she hadn't spotted. So that meant she looked out. And then she went, oh, there's some cars with trailers. Does that automatically mean badness?
If you live in the country and you see something after hours, which isn't usual in a small village, it's pretty much call the cops. Something strange is going on.
Blimey. All right. Okay.
Yeah, it's curtain twitchy, isn't it?
I guess, yeah. Doesn't compute, really, as a non-country dweller.
I thought earlier in the week when these guys were in the Plowman's getting hammered, there was that point where Kenton wanted to announce the longest drinker and they wouldn't shut up. They were still talking and talking. I heard one of them go, pork scratchings?
Yes.
And then I heard Kenton go, oi, oi, lads, put a sock in it. I was like, you're dead, Kenton. No one tells these boys to put a sock in it. They might put a... They might put a cue ball in a sock and then come and see you later.
And then, but then this convoluted story of Jolene's to Vince, where he's like, come on now, I can tell something's wrong. Oh, I think this might just be the start of it. Because this guy in Wolverhampton jumped onto the stage and there were knives and chains and the police were involved and then the venue was burnt down the next day. I mean, I know Jolene's singing isn't very good. But come on, that's quite an overreaction, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I once jumped on stage at a Wonderstuff gig in Wolverhampton, but it was just a stage dive.
Did you have chains and knives?
No, no chains, no knives, no. Have you ever been to Wolverhampton, by the way? It's a wonderful place.
I haven't, no. I have one friend who is from there and supports Wolves.
It's a great place. My friend studied there in the 90s, and I used to go up and visit every opportunity. The beer, fantastic. The food, fantastic. Wonderful. Oh, I think the pub we used to go to was called the Northampton.
Cider shed correction. Matthew means the New Hampton.
On Northampton Road? It had a snug.
Are you sure it wasn't Northampton you were in?
No. I know the difference between Northampton because that's where Dave recorded Spaceman 3's Northampton demos, which I promised I'd never mention again.
Yeah. So, right. Okay. Vince goes, oh, I'll take care of it. Don't you worry. And you think, well, he's definitely, you know this guy.
Oh, he's going to find out pretty quick he knows him.
I think he knows he knows him.
Okay. Do you think there's any connection between the fact they had a couple of sparkies in and then this wider community know that there's dodgy electrics in there?
Yeah, yeah. This Pete fella from doing up Lillian's Amside properties, who was having a roast dinner made by his missus and was a bit disgruntled about coming out, blah, blah, blah. He's definitely gone, here, lads, this pub, massive car park, get your trailers in here, even though that's all utterly ridiculous.
My students' parents in Brazil, their parents' block was having some wiring done on it, so they took the CCTV out. And one night, a bunch of guys came in and pretty much held everyone hostage in the apartment block. And they had them tied up, and they overheard the robbers saying, "Well, it's all right, blah, 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 told us the CCTV is off at the moment anyway." So they just got told by someone that was working there.
There you go, obviously. Oh, I love the scene with Harrison going, "Right, okie dokie, how does this work then with the CCTV?" And then Lillian going, I don't think I want to really stay around. I've got to go. Oh, sorry, am I keeping you for something?" It's like, no, I don't really want to witness Kenton being savaged by some dogs.
Well, also, bedside manner check, everyone. On Wednesday, you've got Kenton, Jolene and David in the same room. And David's going, "Must have been awful when that dog was ripping you from limb to limb, bro," you know. And Kent was like,
"Yeah,"
you, like, you could tell he's like saying, "Get him the fuck out of here." Yeah. Kenton, would this be a bad time to ask for that 30 grand back?
Yeah, when he walked in, he went, "How are you doing, bro?" David doesn't say things like that.
Lillian and Tony last week bro and sissed each other.
Good.
Kenton's obviously not himself, is he? Because when he said, "You've got a drip," and I thought Kenton was going to be like, "Don't be so hard on yourself, Dave."
Well, I was just going to say, like, when David went, "You've got a drip," it's like, he's not blind.
That's great, you know, that's just what I wanted. That's a good sign, isn't it? If I've got a drip on the go.
I mean, I know in radio land here, we have to be told what's happening, but there's been an awful lot recently of people saying things that you would literally never say to the person if you were having a conversation.
Now, forgive me for not being a medical person, but as far as I can see, people of medical persuasion are allowed to ramble freely and get things completely wrong quite often. Yeah. Why isn't he out for the count? I feel like he should be heavily sedated.
I thought you were going to say he's got a massive wound in his thigh. Why has he got a cough?
Purely reactive to whatever medication he's on. But I would imagine you'd want to be... I wouldn't want to be, like, lucid while all these people are coming in, because tonight, of all nights, we got real bloody hospital visitor turd in the water pipe, didn't we?
Yes. You're chewed by a dog, and then Shula appears like an apparition.
Shula.
She actually sounded a bit odd, I thought. You know, not just normal Shula odd. Just sounded like she might be AI Shula or... Did you think her voice sounded a little bit strange?
Isn't that what the locals say to her in Sunderland, AI Shula?
Oh, God. Yeah, very good. It was weirdly nice to hear Vince as well.
Yeah, I understand the Lizzie connection. Obviously, Elizabeth is busy this week running Lower Loxley's slave trading museum or whatever it is.
But why would he be at the hospital though, Matthew? Why? Why would Vince be at the hospital? Is it because he's checking for his mate, Pete, or the dog man who's linked to Pete? He's checking how savagely chewed up David actually is. Not David. I wished it was David. Kent.
Kerry's gone off into the realms of fantasy there. Do you want to throw Shula in as well as a twofer?
Please. Yeah, get them all in that car park. No, do you know what I mean though? What?
I just had a vision of like a car park where they round up for dog fighting, but instead they throw in the Archer siblings and they all go at each other.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
Who would your money be on in that? You've got David, Lizzie, Kenton, Shula. I reckon David, he's a big burly chap, isn't he?
I think Kenton's got a streak of madness in him.
Yeah, I reckon Kenton could easily do a bite on the groin if pushed.
Do you get my point about Vince might be sizing up the scale of the injuries?
Yeah, I thought that. He's been sent as the dodgy, brummy representative. Mm. He moves in those circles.
Yeah, he came across as a Vince Corleone, didn't he?
Yeah.
Coming in, sort of going, "Don't you worry, I'll have a word, I'll sort this out."
Also, he said that dog needs a bullet in its head.
I know. God, such a drama queen.
I thought at one point, maybe just because the lights weren't right in the bull car park, it might have just been Hilda.
Who bloody knows? Why are they... I don't know. Why does Jolene think that's the end? That might be just the start of things as well.
Because now they've angered them.
By doing what, though?
I don't know, but people get nervous about this type of thing, don't they? Most criminals, if it's someone outside of their own community, they very rarely hold a grudge. They just, like, move on because they don't want to attract attention to themselves.
Mm.
In Dublin, there used to be, and this doesn't get widely reported, but when I lived there, there was, like, a shooting or a car bomb almost on a daily basis, but it was gang-on-gang crime out, like, in the north of Dublin. So it would barely make the news. It would make the news. It wouldn't make international news. You'd think if car bombs were going off all over London, I think it would make the news elsewhere, wouldn't it? But it really didn't. Whenever there were, like, boxing weigh-ins or something like this, like, someone would show up with a shotgun and people would get killed. And it just, for some reason, it just doesn't get out there. But I think if it's someone who's accidentally strayed into the into the non-criminal fraternity and done something, they're probably like, oh yeah, probably don't want to go and stir up too much there, because, you know, especially when they've got such a rigorous copper in that village.
Oh hello,
is this the lovely doggy that did it, Kenton? What are you talking about? He's a big softy.
Oh, there don't seem to be any footage for Tuesday. Might because it needs electricity. I've just worked it out, yeah. I liked when Shula said, why would anyone want a dog that they can't handle? How naive are you?
But you are right about Vince spotting something was up.
Mm.
It's interesting, yeah, that they've used him as the kind of conduit for the investigation. He's on the casey. What do you think will happen, though?
Vince will make everything worse.
Okay.
I think. Because he's like, oh, I'll sort it, don't you worry.
Will he make it 100 times worse? Because that's what Jolene predicted tonight. And I was like, what? Is Kenton going to have to be attacked by a dog 100 times?
Or by 100 dogs. Oh, I've just thought. I went, 100 dogs. And I thought, oh, there's 100 other animals in this programme. 100 sheep. And then I thought, will the dogs chew up all the sheep?
Oh, it could happen.
Is that what's going to follow on? Do you reckon Ed's sheep are going to get eaten?
If these guys have got any nouse, they won't be there anymore, will they? They'll have moved on.
Yeah, if they had any nouse, they wouldn't have been in that bloody car park, and they certainly wouldn't have let a dog attack someone to draw attention to themselves.
It might have broken away.
Yeah, well done. Who are these amateurs? It was a good episode. I went back and listened again because I couldn't quite believe the thing that Jolene had said about why she recognised the bloke. So I had to go back. Wolverhampton? What? I beg your pardon.
I think someone's very lazily just thought back to the ska days and about how people used to fight on the dance floor, which prompted the Specials to write Ghost Town. It's a right old hodgepodge.
Yeah, I can't imagine Jolene singing anything like that there, can you? In fact, actually, speaking of ska and stuff of that ilk, I did do a tweet, come on, Jolene, when she was talking to Vince with Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Confused your genres there a bit, Kerry, but that's all right.
Yeah, I know, but they were around at that time, weren't they, Dexy's? They were on a ska tour and everything.
The very Vince said, you know, you and I was born in the darkness. That's how I understand there is light and dark in the world. Oh, he said light and shade, didn't he? In the world, Jolene. So tell me. So he was almost saying, like, I know that side of things.
Yeah, of course he does.
It's his bloody brother, isn't it?
It's either a relative or one of his best mates, yeah.
But we've heard, didn't Vince's dad die years ago? Because Iris is on her own, the mother, isn't she?
I take your word for that.
But I reckon the dad dying is an Easter egg.
A cheese egg. So, because the guy in the bar said, oh, my old dad, RIP, didn't he? And I hoped he was Sykesy that he was talking about. I hoped he was Sykesy's son. But obviously that hasn't come to fruition. So, yeah, he may well have been talking about his own dad, who might be Vince's dad.
Yeah. I mean, I think most Archer's listeners can relate to Jolene when she said, I think this is just the beginning of an even worse nightmare.
That's what it feels like on a Sunday evening. When you've got the whole week ahead of you.
Yeah, but it's the beginning of the week and you've got Mrs. Watkins ringing up to complain that her 60th has been cancelled. The last time we heard from Mrs. Watkins was when Will was doing her pergola or something and Linda got jealous of it.
Oh, God.
Mike Tucker got a mention.
He did get a mention because Eddie has had to go to Brum to do some sort of, well, now, what was the description of the job?
Landscaping.
That's it. And I immediately thought of, you know, like manscape, you know, where blokes shave their bollocks.
Yes, That Manscaped is the product, isn't it? We could get sponsored by them, actually.
Yeah, and I was thinking of Eddie going all the way to Birmingham to help Mike with his manscaping. I'm sorry. We don't always talk about bottoms and willies and bosoms, do we?
How much is a bag of crisps in the Bull, Kerry?
Oh, now, someone bought 7 packets. It was Vince's brother/friend, wasn't it?
6 for each of them, and then 1 for Eddie.
Oh, I didn't hear a price.
Oh, it was £6.30.
Okay, right. So they're just under £1 each.
Yeah, they're 90 each.
That's daylight bloody robbery, isn't it? That's worse than getting mauled by a dog. That's a worse cry, isn't it? Crisps, 90p, what? How big are these crisps?
My friend Mouse was telling me that every day he would take 10p on the way to school with him and buy this packet of crisps. It wasn't Hula Hoops, was it Smith's or something? He listens to this podcast all the way over in North Carolina? I think he's in North Carolina now. He's a helicopter pilot. And he said one day they put the price up to 12 and it ruined his life.
Scarred from that point onwards.
Yeah, he still talks about it now. We were out for beers at Christmas and he was still banging on about it.
You can imagine him like holding up his coin and then going no.
Yeah.
And walking away.
I'm imagining the camera lens like from below the counter looking up at the adult leaning down.
If you were a nice adult, you'd let him have the crisps, wouldn't you? And say, next time you need to, bring more coin.
Joe's Ices, who's this kind of vaguely Italian guy that used to come around in an ice cream van to our street in Bristol and used to park halfway down the road. And we had a slight hill we lived on and everyone would go out. And for the very first time, I asked my mum, can I go to Joe's Ices on my own? And I went down. And it took so long for me to get the money together that I went down. And as I was getting there, he just pulled away. And I went down on my knees. Have you seen William Defoe in Platoon when they leave him behind? He's on the cover of the poster. And I just went down on my knees and was like, no!
Is it one of those where the camera would go high up above you and you'd be looking up and there'd be raindrops coming down?
Yes, exactly that. And then suddenly there was this beep, beep, beep. And Joe had seen me in the wing mirror and he came back. And imagine the music swelling.
This could be a little short film.
Yeah.
This is a roller coaster, isn't it?
Came all the way back and stopped, and I got my ice cream. I'll never forget that.
That's such a lovely story. When you first mentioned, I thought you said Joe's Isis, like Isis.
Yeah, this terrorist group that used to operate
in a van, about 99 with that bomb.
We haven't upset anyone tonight, have we? The criminal community, jihadists,
people from all over
Dublin gangs. All right, Kerry, I think at that point, for our own lives' sake, let's take a little break.
Yeah. Alistair, Jakob, Denise, Paul, Vet or G behind the ball. Monty, Ruby, Bess and Hilda, watching Justin with a Tom, Tony, Milk, Cretians, on their nether regions, Will, topless in the van, nipple clamps for OnlyFans, Brad, I do the bed buying Mia, making sex tapes in IKEA, Vince, Freddy, Steph and Beth, groupie sex with napalm death, Michelle wants the lights on, Alan's crotch the tights on, pint of Shire's a pint of Buckfast, back to Brookfield for a fest.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, for every head, there is a Tails, and that Tails is the fashion show. But you might want to say a little bit more about David.
Well, I was just remembering that when David said at the bedside, when he was being a knob, when he went, what kind of dog was it? And Jolene was like, something heavy, strong and ferocious, like really sort of bigging up the dog. And that was when I thought, I bet it was Ruby, this tiny little whippersnapper.
Yeah. I mean, the last thing we need, and I'm going to upset another group of people now, is the XL bully community latching onto the Archer.
I don't think that'll happen. As someone who doesn't really know anything about pets and dogs and cats and what have you, don't know much about them. I know that I am shitting myself if ever I see one of those around.
Those XL bullies?
Well, just any dog that looks like muscles on legs with teeth.
There's a guy that lives around the corner from us here, and he lives on a first floor balcony, and he's got two dogs. They're not quite that, but they're not far off. And he's got bars on his balcony, which I presume is because he's worried his dogs will leap over the balcony. And in the summer, this guy's built like a brick shithouse as well. He walks the dogs up and down the street topless, and they're pretty much pulling him, and he's massive.
So it's really like a strange personality compensation thing, isn't it? It's some sort of macho, conspicuous, I don't know, parade of inadequacy. Born of inadequacy.
It's like people that rev their motorcycle one extra rev when they pull up in a pub car park. It's like, look at me, I tamed this mighty beast between my legs, everyone. It's like, yeah, okay. Sorry to any listeners that do that. They're probably going to tell me there's some technical reason.
Oh, no, we're going to lose all our listeners.
Fucking Hell's Angels, we pissed off now as well.
What if all our listeners have XL bullies and those sort of like massive loud things on their exhaust
pipes? I've just got this vision of like a huge chapter of the Hell's Angels sat around the clubhouse, transistor radio in the middle.
Just kicking it.
And they're just sat there with their XL bullies and their bikers and their chains that they're ready to go out and fight with them. But, right, that's it. I'm done with this lot.
Loads of one-star reviews come through.
The Hell's Angels. They could be brutal on the reviews, can't they?
Fashion show. Right, okay. I'll tell you one thing that I did notice was I'm listening at the moment to, on Audible, a biography of Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor, and it's called Erotic Vagrancy. It's huge, and it's very intense, and the pair of them are horrendous, but it's very interesting. It's of an age, and it's bloated, obscene wealth. She was a child star, so knew nothing about actually doing anything for herself, blah blah blah. And there was a scene in the Arches this week that made me think that Lillian and Justin are the Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton of Ambridge.
Justin had a bit of a rough old upbringing, even though he was born into privilege. He was put through the public school system, wasn't he, and made to dress up like a daffodil. So he didn't have it all easy.
Oh, in fact, no, I mean Matt was the Richard Burton.
He bought the kimono in Costa Rica, didn't he?
Exactly. That was it. That was the line. Matt bought this kimono in Costa Rica. So, yeah, it was Lillian and Matt that I thought, oh, God, that's really ringing bells with Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton, because it was like money, money, money and hell raising and just being quite wild and excessive money, drinking, you know. Yeah, made me think of them. Justin isn't. Justin is Eddie Fisher or something who lost his mind.
Chelsea was parading around in the silk top, wasn't she, when Lillian came home to me. That silk top, darling. I can't wear it anymore. It's what I was wearing when Jenny died. Don't worry, Lil. A bit of vanish will get that out.
Yeah, I've got my Febreze with me. No problem. It was that, you know, that scene with going, imagine, oh, look at this gaff. And Clary, wasn't it? Was it Clary or Susan?
Susan.
I've had wine. Susan said, Lillian is a lover of nice things, much like me, actually.
Oh, I tell you what, if Susan came into money, she would be full on landed gentry and she would lord it over other people. I know people like her as a character, but she'd be a right twat with cash.
She would, but I have very much enjoyed her presence in recent weeks. Thank God for her. She is such a good actress and I love her delivery and, you know, her little barbed comments. She's been really sort of the most exciting thing, I think, until the savaging.
Yeah. Oh, it's a testament to the job of that she does playing Susan, because there was that thing last week where she just became a bully to Clary when Adam was there going, come on, we're going out and we're going to neck a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah.
This week when she was saying to Tracy, if you can't see past the pig man, then you haven't got any taste in men. And Tracy was like, well, she is dating my son, Susan.
Yes, her protectivity of Neil, because Mia was like, oh no, he's not the right look. He's definitely not. We can't have him. Not that one. No, for the older model. I beg your pardon. She got really protective about her Neil and how even strangers, even complete strangers, have said how good looking he is. Can you imagine a complete stranger going up to Susan and going, yeah, your husband's really good looking.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Of course not.
I noticed you from across the bull and got to tell you, mate, getting it down there.
A total stranger. Oh, I love that line. Yeah, and her delivering it with complete conviction, even though it's totally made up, is very funny.
What did you think of Mia exploding on Brad and Lillian? I mean, Lillian, all she did was suggest a brochure, which is not a terrible idea, is it?
She was going, it'll be on really glossy, thick paper that's totally unnecessarily so for such a shitty little event. I'll pay for it. And then she span it by saying, well, it's what will the older people do? You know, they need it. It's just like, oh, look at their phones. Well, phones are rather small. And accused her of being not inclusive and ageist.
Mia did say, well, it's upstairs, so if the two did crap it, they can't get up there anyway. I was like, Jesus, yeah. Mia. She's going full diva, isn't she?
Yeah, yeah, she's not half.
She fits the category of where I lived in Montpellier. The people in Bristol, the two women that used to run the Montpellier farm shop, sorry, I'm going to upset more people now. We should just call them the hippie Nazis. Because they used to go so far in their endeavour to be right on, they actually became far right.
Interesting. Now, I'm just going to quickly find a tweet that someone shared about the characterisation of Mia as being a very tropey thing. Do bear with me just a moment. Yeah, Tom Doran said that Mia is a very tired stock character and attached a link about Soapbox Sadie. So it's a character, often a child or a teenager, almost always female, who cares deeply about all worthy causes. She wants to protect the environment from polluters, prove that women aren't inferior to men, and free the frogs. If she's the main character of the show, she spends a lot of time struggling with her idealism and whether it's too unrealistic. Soapbox Sadie is usually a post-hippie, the type of girl who would have been a hippie had she not been born in the wrong decade. Sometimes she's updated to the more recent countercultures of the time, like emos, goths and hipsters. So it's like, you know, fulfilling all of those qualities really, isn't she?
Yeah.
Very strident, obvious stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that didn't stop her quoting several Depeche Mode songs to Brad in their argument.
Was it Everything Counts?
She said Everything Counts. There were two more, as far as I could tell. But
oh, amazing.
Maybe we'll come back to that later. I'll have to give it a closer review. every time Brad and Mia chat, I feel like they're slipping song titles in.
Or Star Wars references.
Or Star Wars references, yeah.
Mm. Do you think there is a little competition within the scriptwriters to sort of sneak stuff in? I mean, Depeche Mode are great, so.
And that is a banging song. And if you go to our Instagram, it's probably the first song in our review highlights reel at the top.
I was playing Enjoy the Silence a lot this week.
Is that as you were listening to The Archers?
If only. Yeah. Oh, Enjoy the Silence. T-S at the end.
Yeah, Molly and Tilly Button. We always enjoy the silence, don't we? All right, Kerry. So we've just finished listening to Friday's episode. I was starting to think, why are we even doing this insert? Mm-hmm. And then Vince shows up putting on a funny voice and threatens Jolene.
For no apparent reason.
Why on earth would you go... We said this yesterday. Why would you go back and start harassing people and pretty much confess that it was my mate's Doc as well? And you do remember me, don't you? Even if there'd been a shred of doubt in Jolene's mind that it was the guy that got up with a chainsaw or a country and western gig, whatever it was, now she knows for sure. It's ridiculous.
The whole thing... So he got on a stage where she was singing. That's weird anyway. And also, why was he getting on the stage? To try to get off with her? Why did he have chains with him? Why has he left it all of this time? Is it by accident he stumbled upon her in the pub?
I think so.
I guess. But because a dog was loose and bit Kenton, he's now threatening her. When he could have just left her alone and disappeared.
Yeah, exactly. Thereby going against everything that I said someone in the criminal community would do.
I'm gobsmacked.
He's not going to wage terror against her because he liked her singing. It's kind of the polar opposite of how everyone else feels.
Yeah, he's clearly deranged for all of the things we've just spoken of, including that.
So we got a baddie. We got a proper baddie. His name's Marky, and he's played by Greg Hobbs. I'm just having a look at him on IMDb.
Is he? I mean, it's not his fault, is it? He's, you know, he's got this gig, and they've given him this nonsense to get involved with.
He's got a touch of the Vinnie Jones about him on his IMDb photo.
Oh, has he? Well, he looks thuggish.
One of the four stock photos of him that appear on his IMDb is him, like, with blood pouring down his face, looking like he's been in a fight. So presumably that was taken just outside Jolene's gig in Wolverhampton.
Yeah. And that doesn't really translate on radio. He did just sound like Vince.
Just a little gruffer, isn't he?
Mm.
They could check the CCTV now. Presumably it's up and running again. And then this guy's going to be...
Oh, for threatening her, you mean?
Yeah.
For creeping about. Yeah.
I'll give it to Harrison. Harrison will have it for a day, and Jolene will be like, why am I looking at a couple of grey tits, Harrison? Must have taped over that with Springwatch, Jolene, sorry.
I hope this shite doesn't roll on whilst Kenton's in hospital. And of course, she won't want to tell Kenton, because not only because he's threatened her, but because Kenton's in a bit of a fragile state, and so she won't want to worry him.
But Vince is already going to be sniffing around, isn't he, asking questions?
Yeah, but then if Vince sniffs around and asks questions and finds who it is, the bloke will think that Jolene's dobbed him in.
Yeah, exactly that.
When she hasn't.
No, he also said, your loudmouth fella, Kenton. So that was when he told them all to shut up, wasn't it, the other night in the pub. They clearly didn't like that, as I thought. So elsewhere, what did we get? Moving on swiftly, Paul bought Greg? Who's Greg from Succession? Paul bought Brad's green velvet suit.
Yeah. More than half the clothes were sold.
Yeah, I thought Jim was going to be the mystery model. Quite disappointed that it was Bert. And
I was hoping for Tony.
Why can't anyone keep livestock in a proper place? The Texels were on the cricket field, and then Jolene said to Kenton the bull upstairs was heaving.
Health and safety gone mad.
I know. It's just not a place to have a bull, is it? A fashion show.
Not really.
And Mia dropped the L-bomb as her and Brad got back together.
Oh, God. She is really getting on my tits.
It was funny that the public order offence against Greta Thunberg had been dropped, and that was on the news just before the Archers started. Oh. I was like, could we have one against Mia instead?
Did you hear the other thing they were talking about? Whether Radio 4 should... Well, whether the pit are necessary. We know one pip who isn't necessary, don't we? Get shot.
That's a question we're all asking ourselves. Are the pip necessary? So I guess we'll toddle off. And listeners, you'll get to hear our socials now. You're getting a takeaway in, aren't you, Kerry, as you told me?
Yeah, as yet undecided what it is. Oh, Deliveroo drivers or riders are on strike in Brighton this evening. They're all sort of zooming around on their motorbikes in procession. So might have to be the local chippy.
I'm off to a smoked meat festival.
Ooh, that sounds nice. Where at?
Right here in the little area we live in. There's a show, actually. There's a band. So I'll be getting up on stage with my chains and my barbed wire baseball bat, obviously, which is what you do if you're enjoying a show.
Yeah, I'm still shook by that nonsense, but let's see how it unfolds.
Okay, then, Kerry, yeah, let's take a little break and we'll go into our socials for you.
Nice one.
From the studio that brought you Ed and Emma Grundy, in Log Jamming, The Cider Shed presents...
Brian Aldridge.
In...
Pussy, pussy, pussy.
Watch as Brian dumps his toxic load all over Ambridge, land-filling his way into the beds of Borsetshire. Huh? Happy now, Katie?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, Kerry, did anything happen on the review front this week?
Yeah, we got a great review, 5 stars. I'll read it. The title is Imposter Syndrome, and it says it's from Slasher's mum, but when I've read it, you'll understand that it isn't quite. So they've written, I have to write my review on my daughter's iPad because my review keeps vanishing. I have been listening to The Archers since day one, and I think it's totally gone to pot in the last couple of years. People like my son and daughter need your podcast to keep them in the loop. I know I'm old because 3 of my children are drawing their old age pension. This means that I am wise. I sometimes can't make out what the swear words are because of the bleeping, but I won't take a star away because of that. If this review comes up under my daughter's name, which is Slasher's mum, I will slap her legs. Love and kisses, Paddy McSpaniel, Slasher's Nana.
Oh, thanks for that, Slasher's Nana. So that's Angela's mum.
Because
Angela did message us on Facebook to say, Mum keeps writing a review, it keeps vanishing.
Oh.
And we're trying to figure out why that happened. So I have said to anyone, if you think that you wrote a review and it either didn't get written out, latterly, if it hasn't been posted on Instagram, those things, we kind of tend to drip those out over a longer period of time just to not saturate and kind of big ourselves up too much. But P.S. go and watch the totally bigging ourselves up Succession video I posted. Great review. Thanks for that.
What a lovely review.
Yeah, really, really nice. Yeah. I'm glad we finally got it as well. And
yes, thank you.
I'm sure Joe has listened to the patron. Like I asked him if he wanted to locate his review, we'd certainly do our best to dig that out as well if it fell under the radar. Kerry sometimes sees different ones to the ones that I do based on region, which is a bit strange, but we're always kind of careful to see if we can catch them all in our net. I did mention our Facebook group there. It's called the Cider Shed Podcast. Pops right off on there. Thanks for everyone that got involved this week, getting involved. To give us some inspiration for the midweek special when we talked about the love lives of Ambridge. Yeah, it went off on a bit of a tangent as well. There was a No Safe for Work version of Vogue on there, something that couldn't possibly appear on the podcast in the main. So go and have a listen on Patreon if you feel like joining up for arguably just about twice the price of a packet of crisps in the States, isn't it? I don't know. And yeah, thanks to everyone that does support us on Patreon. Massive help to us. You can do that at www.
Matthew temporarily forgets how to speak klaxon.
Oh, you can do it, Matthew. I believe in you.
You can do that at www.patreon.com/thesidershed.
Good, good.
Ooh, Jesus.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh, my God.
I'm going to edit the first bit of that out, but I had real trouble reading that address. So that's why we're celebrating me getting to the end of it. Thanks to everyone that does that. Massive help to us. I was living and breathing either work, tech support, or the cider shed this week. And no sooner had I felt like I'd finished editing the midweeker, than which I finished late last night, we're here recording today. So I love it when people do support us. It really helps us a lot. And yeah, thanks for that. And someone who did, whether they meant to do it or not, was India Charlie, who popped into the Patreon, supported us, and then cancelled their membership on the same day. A brief flicker in the light for India Charlie. So, you know, just to say...
But thanks for that contribution.
Yeah, thanks for that. And whether you meant to do it or not, you know, let us know if it was a horrible mistake. I hope this brief jingle makes up for it.
Hey there, India Charlie. A quick thank you for your brief patronage of the Cider Shed. We hope it wasn't an accident. Maybe your cat crawled across your keyboard.
You bastard!
Either way, big up yourself.
So thanks for that, India Charlie. We're much appreciative of the support. Kerry, I mentioned them before. You can follow us on Instagram at the Cider Shed Pod. Lots of fun and laughs and silly songs over there. Kerry, what goes on that Twittery place these days?
Ooh, Twitter. Oh, I'm having a lovely time on Twitter at the moment. It's at the Cider Shed Pod. Do come along. Hashtag the Archers. During any Archers episode, including the Omnibus or between as well. Get on there. It's very funny. Lots of funny people on there. Or Blue Sky, bit quieter, at the Cider Shed Pod. bsky.social. But, you know, lovely people there too. Nice interactions about the strangeness that is the Archers.
And given that I got 76 points this game week and still counting as far as I can tell, let's give a little shout out to our fantasy football. Now, Kerry, I said to you before we were recording the midweeker that I was putting Liverpool players in my team because I knew they would spank up Chelsea. And I wasn't wrong.
Yeah, you did well, didn't you?
Yeah, I put Jota as captain.
What? Where are you?
Well, let's have a look.
Yes, Matthew.
I'm in 24th place.
Good God.
I know. I'm getting a f***ing nosebleed. So, just so we know, and I'm reading a smashed phone screen. In first, FC James, James Scott, on 1,341 points.
Well done, James. Will you ever, ever drop a place? I don't think
so. The gap is shifting now as well. If I was to do the math very quickly, he's 53 points clear of second place.
I bet he cannot wait to receive his Cider Shed merch.
I know. In second place, things can only get better. Chris Charlson. In third place,
yeah, strong.
Yeah, Dynamo Darrington, always. Matthew Penny up to third. Anna D with offside into fourth. In fifth place, Alistair Sheldrick with Bayern never losing. In sixth place, Audrey Cameron below pars. Mm-hmm. In seventh.
She's strong.
Yeah. In seventh place, 4-4 Poo, Nat Ogle. In eighth place, Andrew Marchetti, Obi-Wan Kenobi nil. In ninth, James Goldstone, Grealish's Anatomy. In tenth place, Kerry FC, Kerry Warvis.
It's a minor dip. I don't think I've finished getting points this week. It's a funny old period, isn't it? This one, where the cut-off points are in strange places and what have you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am there. That's true.
All right, I'm going to give everyone the shouts this week. Jethro Hallett with bounce back ability in 11th. Max Warbis Mansfield with Max FC in 12th place. Julie Scott, 13th with Plant Pot. Julie Fremantle with her team The Beauties in 14th place. Going down one place, B-side Ella Wilson. Staying steady at 16, Terry Wigan, LA Browns. Not moved, Reeds Rockets, Penny Bradley. Up to 18th, Kane Given FC, Kate Melnick. Staying steady 19th, Gabe Shepherd, Macaroni Cheese.
I think you should do them all. Are you going to do
them all?
I'm doing
them all. I just said I'm doing them all.
Good. Excellent. De, de, de,
de, de, de. There's going to be music under it, Kerry. Okay. In 20th, Hugh Parker with Cable Towers United. 21st, Liam Rayner with Expected to Lose. 22nd, Dave Elston, Ange Attack. Not Dog Attack. In 23rd place, Martin Harrison, Weaver's Return. Oh, there's the dog. In 24th, Russ of the Rovers, Matthew Weir. In 25th, going down, Borsetshire Blues, Emma King. Down in 26th, FPL Callum, Callum Scott. Down again, Bartley Baggies, Carl Doherty. This is all the people that I'm leapfrogging. In 28th, You'll Get Over It, Lynn Bird. In 29th, going down, Mollington United, Catherine Dorrell. You want to say something about Lynn Bird?
I know, she just went up. That's good, isn't it? She's gone up.
Staying steady at 30th, Dana Warbis.
My mum.
Fafa FC.
Dinah, yeah.
Dinah, sorry. In 31st, FC Prunella Scales, David Nicholson. We'll need that. David, we'll need that explained. In 32nd, Lads United, Sam Warbis, no movement.
San.
Oh, yeah. In 32nd... Sorry.
What is it with my family?
I don't know. I can't pronounce it. I can't pronounce any of Kerry's. And plus, I did say I'm looking at a smash screen, didn't I?
I know, but you're really reading everything well apart from my two relatives' names. It's funny. Right, next, there's another one coming. Carry on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so apologies for that, Sarn. Sarn Warbis with Lads United in 32nd place. In 33rd place, Moo Moo's Angels. Moo Moo Warbis.
Now,
Mimi's Angels, Mimi Warbis Mansfield in 33rd. No movement for Mary's Shed, Mariana Dutra. There's no movement on the sofa either.
Nestled up with my daughter, that's nice.
And 35th place, Chelsea Horobin, Alex Martini. In 36th, Weaver's Wanderers, Mims Dawson Riley. In 37th, Pads, James Paddock. In 38th, Kaza Jackson, LA Jackson. In 39th, Weetabix United, David Hall. In 40th, Farm Fumblers, Kay Guyden. In 41st, Ace of the 17 by
Audrey Ann Covarrubias.
Very good. In 42nd, Grundy Pants, Rob Williams. Come on, Rob, get it together. 43rd, Pleasure Beach Friday, Nimrod Pleasure Beach. I tell you what, Nimrod Pleasure Beach is on the beach. They've given up, haven't they?
Yeah, but look, he's scraping.
And in 41st place, one star review, Peter Fickling. But they are like at least 60 plus points clear of the Ballad of Bowen. Emily Crew. Emily, I will come in as your number two and give the lads a chat to in the dressing room. I'll pick the team. All right, so that's how it stands in fantasy football. If you hated our fantasy football roundup, then you'll have absolutely, you'll be with the Hell's Angels with a chained baseball bat now, clubbing the radio. So you're in good bikey company if that happened. Sorry, they say bikey in Australia. They say biker in England, but you know, I'm trying to.
All right, okay. Didn't know that. Bikey.
So there you go. I'm upsetting the Australian chapters now as well.
As well.
Yeah, you know, best to cover all bases. The end of this week is going to be like the Blues Brothers. Kerry and I are just in a car with every section of society chasing us through the streets. All right, Kerry.
Yeah.
Let's head off into that yonder reality and ponder what's going to happen next week in Ambridge. Got a good weekend planned?
Yes, socialising on Saturday. I have people coming round. I'm wondering what on earth to cook them. It's an afternoon visit with bringing your own booze kind of thing. I contemplated actually asking you for recommendations on what to make.
Well, are you thinking like lots of little things or just one big thing that everyone can dip into?
Well, I did think about the one big thing. Yeah. And I couldn't, it's all boring, isn't it? Like chilies and all that shit. I've lacked inspiration. So you can maybe help me.
Well, I'll have a little ponder on that. I mean, I always thought the, you know, like a Thai chicken or something like that, a bit of rice, Thai chicken, a bit of bread you can dip in it, chapati or something. Yeah. You can't go wrong, can you? Might get a bit messy.
Yeah, this is it. I just can't decide. I just don't know. Or maybe just get fish and chips delivered. I don't
know. There's that option as well.
Sunday empty.
You know, if you want to go long, get a paella.
No, thank you. I like it, but I'm not fucking making it.
Yeah, didn't you tell me recently you'd never made a risotto until recently?
I actually don't think I've ever made a risotto.
I'm pretty sure you messaged me about in the last 3 months where you said on the podcast you were making a risotto, but you told me prior to that you'd never made one.
I can't remember having made one.
Okay, I'm gonna check our WhatsApps and maybe the listeners remember if it was on air. So I now believe that Kerry making a risotto is the equivalent of the dog ate my homework, and she just didn't want to do something that I'd asked her to do at that time.
But Matthew, with a risotto, it's best to eat it straight as it's done, isn't it? It's not a sort of thing you can pre-do and then...
Well, in restaurants, you make it two-thirds of the way, because risottos aren't made from scratch in most restaurants. So like the rice is cooked with all the onions, the garlic and all the aromatics and stuff and the stock or whatever. And then it's left as a kind of a base. And then all you do...
So sort of edging.
Yeah, edging. Exactly that, Kerry.
Edging the risotto.
Edging, yeah. You just bring it to the...
I might do
you
that.
Finish it off, basically.
Oh, just getting there. No, not yet.
Yeah, I'll give you a few tips on how to, you know, edge your risotto.
Please
cream
do.
Cream it off at the end. No worries. Yeah, I can do that.
Great. Lovely. Sorted.
All right. Well, you know, thanks for that, everyone. I'm sure you enjoyed that. The Hell's Angels at this point are actually... No, leave it on, actually. I fancy risotto this weekend. All right. I guess at that point.
Love you.
Yeah, love you too, Kerry. And love you, listeners. And we'll speak to you soon. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Hello.